God is awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Rejoice in you and your goodness and your presence in this place. We love you, Lord. You've lifted us already. You're the Lord that saves. You're the Lord that heals. You're the Lord that brings encouragement and strength to us. You're the Lord God who's redeemed us, given us eternal life. We thank you for your Spirit within us, for the plan that you have for our lives. Open our hearts tonight in faith that we would see you. You would be so real to us, Lord, every day, every moment in our lives as we live with faith and expectancy. Now tonight, touch us and minister and lift us up in the name of Jesus. Anoint me, God. You be glorified in this house. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the 9th chapter of the book of John, please. John chapter 9. It's a good name, John. Tonight, my message is called The Light of the World Heals the Blind Man. Of course, who's the light of the world? As we start this chapter in chapter 9, actually, this is a continuation of Christ's declaration in the last chapter, in chapter 8, verse 12, saying, I am the light of the world. And if you remember that they caught a woman in the very act of adultery, it actually was a setup that the Pharisees did and then brought him to Jesus, trying to trick him to condemn her or bring grace so that he'd be guilty either way. And I think we know, remember the story. He said, you know, those that haven't committed sin, they can cast the first stone, and they all turn and left her. And then he said, well, where are those that condemn you? And he said, there is none, Lord. And he says, I don't condemn you either. And then after that, he told her that he was the light of the world. He spoke saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness and will have the light of life. So actually, as we move into this 9th chapter, it's a continuation of what he's saying. He's putting it in practice. And that after he left the temple, that as he left and they tried to kill him, that he walked past a blind man. And that's where it is. Let's pick it up in verse 59. And it says, and they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And I want us to see that this man was born blind. He'd always been blind. And in verse 3, Jesus answered and said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I want you to just notice the difference, the way the disciples saw this man and the way Jesus saw this man. And that Jesus saw this man with mercy as part of his plan to bring forth healing to him, that God would be glorified. And the disciples saw the condition as something that he probably did bad, that he'd sinned, or his parents sinned. And that they saw it in entirely different ways. But I want you to know that this whole event is part of the Lord saying, I am the light of the world. That he's coming to bring sight to the blind. He's coming to bring light, not only physically, but spiritually, to minister to us, to give light to us. And so this whole event was all part of God's sovereign plan. And that God has a timeline, dispensationally, for what he's doing, but he has a timeline for our lives and the things that happen. every day. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of God. Do you know that? God arranges your footsteps. David said, my times are in thy hand, O Lord. That means every day. Not only for ministry to come to us, but for ministry to what? To go from us. So the Lord arranges our steps every day. And we can be blind ourselves. We can miss the opportunities that God wants to minister to us, and we can miss opportunities that the Lord's called us to minister to others because we're living in that self-centered existence. You know, self-centeredness, man, will make us blind more than anything. Nevertheless, Jesus came to bring healing. It tells us that he was born blind, and if we look in verse 4 and read on, it says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. And that is true. There's going to come the end of this dispensation where the harvest is done. And that whoever gets saved is going to be saved. And there's going to be many people that don't make it. And God's given us that responsibility. This stuff's not in my notes. I'm just throwing it in. But the night comes when no man works. It's going to be over. It's going to be done. Now, how many know there's still a lot of people out there that need to know Jesus, that are walking in blindness? And that God arranges our steps every day to meet people. And because of fear, we don't share the Lord with them. Or fear of rejection. You know, but yet, you've got the very life of God in you. And you're not the one that's going to do it anyway. It's God who's going to do it through you. It's His Spirit that's going to do it through you. He arranged the meeting. Do you think He set it up for you to fail? He wouldn't have arranged the meeting for you if He didn't want to use you and wasn't going to use you in some way to minister to that person. Can you say amen? I mean, you know, it worked for you. Somebody was praying for you. Somebody shared with you. Somebody led you to Jesus, or somebody brought you to church. You know, God drew you in. I mean, if you can get saved, anybody can get saved. Come on. You know? So the Lord, you know, the Lord will set those things up for us every day. We need to start being sensitive and be bold and confident. You know, I'd rather please God than worry about what people think about us. I'd rather think about what God thinks about what we're doing or not doing. Can somebody say amen? Yeah, it's pretty quiet, but I said, can somebody say amen? So this was, this was an unorthodox kind of thing. But look, it says in verse 6, he says, and when he had spoken, so he said, I am, in verse 5, for as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he said this, he spit on the ground, made clay of that spittle, and then he anointed his eyes, that blind man, with that clay, and then he said to him, go wash now in the pool of Siloam, which is interpretation, meaning sent, and he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. And then, you know, that's just really not that orthodox. You know, God will break out of the box every time. If you think you got God, I'll figure it out. Well, you know, you don't have God figured out. He'll do it at a different time than you think. He'll do it in a different way than you think. He'll use different people to do it than you think, or different means. He'll always do something, you know, you're not expecting. You know, you say, oh, this is the way it happens. You know, this is that you do 1, 2, 3, and then this happens. You know, God says, well, I got news for you. Sometimes I do 1, 2, 5. You know what I mean? He can do anything he wants. He's the Lord. Can you say amen to that? So he brought healing to him, and this was a creative miracle because he had been born blind. But he did this because he was dealing with the Pharisees and with their blindness and the blindness of other people. And we'll see in a moment he did it on the Sabbath day. And they, wake up please, and they were really upset that he brought healing on the Sabbath. And so then it says, if we're looking verse 8, and the neighbors therefore, and they which had seen him that was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, yeah, well, it's him. Others said, well, it's someone like him. But then he said, it's me. I'm the one. And he says, therefore, they said, well, how is it? How were your eyes opened? And he called and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. And then they said him, well, where is he? He said, I don't know. So, there's a progressive revelation of Jesus to this man. And that's what I want to talk about, just as an easy way to show this chapter. And the first thing is that he knows that he's a man called Jesus. That's all. He just knows he's a man called Jesus. And then if we look in verse 13, we'll see it's going to progress. Because then he comes to know that not only is a man called Jesus, but he is a prophet. So the neighbors and the people that ask him, well, how'd you get blind? Says they brought him to the Pharisees that had been blind. And it was a Sabbath day. And when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, man, that got the Pharisees. And then the Pharisees, they ask him, how is it that you receive your sight? This is the second time he's asked. And he said unto them, we put clay on mine eyes, and I washed, and now I see. And therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man's not of God, because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is such a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And then they said unto the blind man again, what do you say of him? He said, the one that opened your eyes. And he said, well, he's a prophet. I want you to know that Jesus is intentionally confronting these Pharisees on the Sabbath to break them out of their blindness and their empty religious tradition that doesn't bring life at all, that brings death. In chapter 5, there was another miracle that was performed. This was the man that for 38 years had an infirmity, and that he was healed at the pool of Bethesda when Jesus healed him there. And after that, it says, Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day, it was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that cured him, it's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them and he said, well, the one who made me whole, he told me to pick up my bed and walk. You know, it's kind of like, what would you do, dummy? You know? I mean, he got healed and he didn't really know who he was at that time. Later on, Jesus revealed himself and who he was. And then again in John chapter 7, it's not hard to find, just over a page there. In John chapter 7, in verse 21, the people, again, Jesus, you know, is showing himself that he's God because of the works that he's doing, because of the things that he's saying, I only do the works that the Father does. And why do you not believe me, you know, if I'm telling you the truth? And believe me for the very work's sake. And at one point here, because of the things he was speaking, the truth, in verse 20, it says, and the people answered and said, you have a devil. And then in verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. And Moses therefore gave unto them your circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but because it's your father's, and you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. So if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every bit whole on the Sabbath day? You go through a ritual, you know, taking away, I'm adding too. I made him every bit whole on the Sabbath day. And you're upset because this man was healed on the Sabbath. I mean, that is blindness. Can you imagine that? Being so blind, these awesome miracles take place, and they're upset because he's doing it on the Sabbath day. Oh, this man was carrying his mat that was healed, you know. Get back down on your mat. Stay sick. You know, this blind man, you know, it happened on the Sabbath day. They're all upset. And so, you know, then in verse 18, now that they want to get this thing straightened out. So it says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he'd been blind and received his sight until they called his parents. And then they want to know, you know, had he received his sight or not? So they're trying to find out, really, they're trying to get evidence that he was not blind. That's what they're doing here. It's not that they're so concerned to get to the truth, you know. And so, out of fear, if we look here, that it says in verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that he's our son and that he was born blind, but by what means He sees, we don't know. Or we don't know who's opened his eyes. We don't know that. He's of age. You just let him speak for himself. The reason being is that anyone that believed in Jesus or became a follower of Jesus, they put out of the synagogue and they excommunicated. And so the parents didn't want anything to do with this. Let him ask him. In verse 22, these words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews has agreed already that if any man did confess to Jesus Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, he said his parents, he's of age. Now, look, I want you to see how it progresses. Here's the next thing again. Look in verse 24. Then again, they called the man that was blind. They said unto him, give God the praise. Now, this isn't what it sounds like. When they said, give God the praise, it was an oath that was given. You can read it in Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. They're saying, you tell the truth before God. That's what they're saying. When it says, give God praise, it was an oath. And then they said, he answered and said, And they called him and said, then again they called the blind man and said unto him, give God the praise. We know this man's a sinner. So they're saying, okay, we're the judges and we want to get to the truth. We already know this man's a sinner. Now answer us and tell us and agree with us. That's basically what they're saying. We want you to agree with us. And so they were so prejudiced. They were so blind. And then if we look in verse 25, I love this. Oh, man, I love this. Every time I read it, I get excited. He answered and he said, listen, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. The only thing I know is that I was blind and now I can see. And then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open up your eyes? This is the fourth time people have asked him how this thing happened. Four times. The Pharisees again. How did this thing happen? Tell us again. And he answered them, says, listen, I've already told you. You know, you're not going to hear it again. So, you know, if you're not going to hear it, then they said, well, he said, wherefore would you hear us again? Are you going to be his disciples? Is that why you're asking these things? He said that, you know, not seriously. I mean, it was like, so what do you want to be his disciples? You know, he's pretty bold, this blind guy. And then they rebuked him and they said, thou, you're his disciple. We're Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As far as this fellow, we don't know who he is. We don't know where he's from. We don't know anything about this guy, you know. And then listen to his answer again. This is so cool. In verse 31, now, we know that God hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does the will of God, this is the blind man speaking to them. He said, and he hears him. Since the world began, it's not been heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. And this was the scripture that they were to look for from the Messiah. It's written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. These guys knew the Bible. And this is what it's written, and it was quoted to John the Baptist. And the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That was one of the signs that the Messiah was coming. Never had blind people been healed before. Never happened. Who can do that? Only God can do that. This was the scripture that showed who he was. And so what they're asking him, you know, man, they rebuked him. They got upset at him. Let me find my verse again. And help me. What verse did I leave off on? Thank you. And so it says, and now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, he does the will of him to hear us. Since the world began, it's not been heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And then they answered and they said unto him, you are altogether born in your sins. And are you lecturing us, teaching us? And they cast him out. So look at this. Isn't this amazing? What's he saying to them? He's saying, isn't it amazing that this man just opened my eyes and you don't know who he is or where he came from? Isn't it amazing? You don't have a clue that only God can cause these things to happen and you're calling him a sinner. Well, they didn't really like that very well, you know. And then they cast him out. They excommunicated him. They got rid of him. And so, man, if we go on and look, as the leaders rebuked him, they were in their own blindness. I mean, it's really ironic. They couldn't see at all. And so Jesus is dealing with this. Now, if we look in this, we see that it progresses a little far. He says, who did this? He calls him a man of God. Only a man of God could do this. Only a God that man was with, or that God was with. If we look and starting in verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that he'd cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he turned and said, who is the Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, you've both seen him, and he is that talks with you right now. I want you to know, maybe you felt cast out. Maybe you felt rejected. And Jesus is going to be right there. He's a friend to the downtrodden. You know, God turned to him immediately. Now he sees more, that he understands. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus, the shepherd who cares for his sheep. That Jesus was right there, even though he went through these things. I mean, he was healed. But I want you to know Jesus is a friend of outcasts. We see here that the man really reached the top of his faith journey. And not only did he receive physical healing, but greater than that, he received spiritual healing. And look as he proclaims that this is a man called Jesus. He's a prophet. He's a man of God. He is the Son of God. But look what else he said there. He said in verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You know that Jesus works in our lives like that. That he brings progressive light. We begin to see more and more about Jesus as we progress. First, you know, that he just speaks and, well, you know, that he's a man called Jesus, and we're not sure, you know, quite who Jesus is. And then I hear people say, well, you know, he's a prophet. You know, and then it's like some people, as they progress, the Lord gives more light to them. And they understand, you know, that he's God's man. And that he's the one that's sent by the Lord. And as we really understand, and there's going to be people that you meet, they're going to be in different places in the light. That some of them are really open, and some of them, you know, they're still in that place. But they're progressing. Just don't get discouraged. You know, if you're praying for somebody now and they seem to be far away, well, how many of you were far away once? You know, your heart wasn't open at all. Let me see. Stop and look around. Maybe just look behind you. There's hands up all over the whole room. And so most of us were in a place where we weren't open. If somebody would have come up and began to witness to us back then, how many of you, maybe they did, and you said, no way. See? So don't get discouraged. But what happened? Somebody was praying for you, and not only that, but the Lord is setting up these things in our lives to bring himself into our lives and bring us closer to him. That he ordains things in our lives. And what I'm saying is he ordains the things in the lives of other people as well. That when you have these meetings with them, don't you think that God wants to see them saved more than you? And if he set the meeting up, he's been working on this guy a long time before the meeting to get his heart ready for it. In the same way that he worked for you a long time before you came to Jesus. Man, I look back at the things that happened to me that God was trying to do to pull the strings of my heart to get him to get me to that place that I would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see at that moment, he calls him Lord, and this blind man, he joined in with the crowd of witnesses that knew he was the Lord. Started with John the Baptist. He knew Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus revealed it to him. It was revealed unto Andrew, and then to John, and then to Peter, and then to Philip, and then Nathaniel. It was revealed to the woman at the well. It was revealed to the woman that was taken in adultery. And as we look through history, There's thousands and thousands and thousands of believers that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and know that He's Lord. Why is it we think God's not going to use us to touch people when no one comes to the Lord except He draws them? And if God set up an appointment for you to talk, if God's called you to witness to somebody and we don't do it, what would you call that? Say it. Sin. Sin. Was it obedience? Was it faith or unbelief? Faith. So the Lord just wants us to be bolder. You know, that it's not just here. It's America. There are very few Christians that are witnessing or sharing their faith. It's not enough to come to church. How many know Jesus is still the light of the world? Matter of fact, He said, and you are what? You're the light of the world now. How can we keep that light? Hide it under a bushel. He says you take it and let that candle shine up high on the hill that people can see it. So, you know, we come to church. That's wonderful. But how can we keep doing that without ever sharing it and think we're really pleasing God with what we're doing and we're being a witness and walking in faith? How can I keep this treasure in myself? How can I hide it under a bushel? How many know hell is real? We know that. I mean, I don't have to convince you that. We know that. How many know heaven's going to be more awesome than anything we could ever imagine? You know? How many know God's given us a commission that the Lord, every person in this room, how you know we're supposed to share Jesus? So why don't we do it? It's not because we don't know. It's not even because we don't love Jesus. But our fear becomes larger than our love for the Lord. And our fear blocks out our love for other people. The Lord wants to challenge us. You know, that this place should be filled with visitors all the time. Sign's not going to get it done. And we, you know, it's great. Newsletters aren't going to get it done. Newspaper ads, what says on Joy FM, the Lord's not called them to be a witness. We use that. But who's called to be a witness? Me. You. So I want to challenge you by the Holy Spirit. Next time, you know, that appointment comes, you know, you know when it's coming. You know, if you're sensitive at all, you're going, whoa, I wonder if God's saying, yes, 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 yes. Gee, I wonder if this is, well, I don't know. I better wait till the next time. Yes, go for it, go for it. I set it up. I've been bringing this meeting together now for 3 months. Don't mess it up. It's here, it's here, it's here. Don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. Say, well, it must not be God. You know, it's fear in our heart. Now let's really just even with our own mind think for a moment. Is it more important what they think about us, or rejection, or for God to be pleased? And you find out, you know, that there are very few people that have a really negative response back when you share with them. I'm persecuted. All they did was say, well, I'm not interested. I've been rejected. My life's ruined. They said they're not interested. I mean, well, why don't you sow some seed and get the seed going, and later on they will be interested, you know? Somebody puts the seed in, somebody waters, somebody else reaps. You know, God, help us to be bold. Help us to start stepping out. Step out. Step out. Step out. We'll look in verse 39. They recognize. He recognizes the Lord. He worships Him. He joins a great heavenly host of people that have found the Lord Jesus through the centuries. He's there. He's one of them. And then Jesus said, for judgment I am come unto this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. What's he mean by that? He's saying, let the blind see. He came to bring sight to those people who don't see. Not just physical sight, but spiritual sight. But he's saying those that think they see will be made blind. It's black and white. He's drawing the line. So these Pharisees think they see, but they don't know. They're blind as can be. So look, he said in verse 40, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? You know, Jesus already said they were blind leaders leading the blind. But they were blinded by their pride. They were blind by their self-righteousness and by their religious acumen and education and all the stuff that didn't bring God's life at all. They were blinded by sin in their hearts. And we think about in our own lives, what blinds us to the truth of God? Pride? Self-righteousness? I already know about that. Sin in our lives? Hard hearts? Unforgiveness? But this scripture always speaks to me every time I read it in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 9. This is 1 John, not John. 1 John says, he that says he is in light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in light. These Pharisees, they were filled with hate. They couldn't see any light. I mean, God himself came in person. Performed all these miracles. But he did it on the Sabbath. They were so blind because they were filled with hatred. They couldn't see anything. And Jesus couldn't do anything wrong. They were offended. They had on these, tinted glasses. And everything they saw were through the lenses of those shaded glasses. Didn't matter what he did. He was wrong. Before we just get too hard on them, I want us to think about our relationship with other people. When somebody offends us sometime, we can carry that offense. And for years, maybe always, every time we see them, we look at them through our tinted glasses. And we don't see anything good at all. And we're completely deceived. It was just by that fence. How many believe probably at one time or another you offended somebody? Oh, really? That was the wrong question, huh? And so, if you've offended somebody, and then how many, like to get that straight? And if you're aware there's been offense, to, get it right. Can I see your hands? So do you think then that somebody's not going to offend you? And anyway, how many of you are Christians? Okay, so what are we supposed to do? Forgive. But you don't know what they did. I know what we did to Jesus, and he forgave us. So listen, it goes on. He that loves his brother abides in light. There's no occasion of stumbling in him. When you walk in love, you're not going to stumble. He that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he's going because darkness is blind in his eyes. Man, if we got something in our heart about somebody, be careful because you don't even know it, but you're walking in blindness. And, we can be hard on these Pharisees, but we can do the same thing. Boy, when we got an offense, when we're mad at somebody, we don't see him. Other people don't see him like that. Jesus doesn't see him like that. We've got to lay it down. If we want. And so Jesus said to these Pharisees, it'd be better off if you were blind. Then if you were blind, then I could do something about it. But you claim to see. So you're guilty. Because you claim that you do see. That can happen to Christians. It's just an attitude. Never want to be instructed. They know everything. Get offended easily. Wear their feelings out there on their, hands, get upset, rebel against authority, and we don't even realize that we're blind. That's not the heart of Jesus. It's humility. It's It's one of openness, instruction. Everything he did because the Father instructed him. I only do the things the Father tells me to do. I only speak the words the Father tells me to speak. I only do the works that the Father has given me to do. Not my will, but your will be done. It's that surrendered heart to the Lord. So, they'd all seen, you know, with their own eyes, these miracles that Jesus performed. They're blind in their hearts. And God's working all around us, you know. He's doing good works all the time. I guess I just felt like the Lord, he doesn't want us to be blind to him because of our own fear. Or because of our own, I mean, are we God-centered or self-centered? Fear and self-consciousness, it's about me, isn't it? I'm worried what people are going to think about me. I'm not talking about fear of a truck coming at you. I'm talking about what somebody else is going to think about you. Father, tonight, I thank you for your word, and I pray this will go into our hearts. We thank you. You are the Lord of miracles. And the God, I pray tonight, here, that there's things, Lord, that maybe for years have been a certain way, and yet this man was born blind, and you brought healing. Tonight, Lord, we heard a testimony. We thank you for Sharon's testimony. For years, she was in a wheelchair. And I pray for people in this room, Lord, that maybe there's been something in their life that's been that way for a long, long, long time. I pray they're not going to give up hope, but to know who you are. And that, Father, if we'll reach out in faith, you're the Lord God of miracles. You're the Lord. Open even our eyes tonight, that we'd be blind to your word and to who you are and what you can do. Open our eyes. You're a miraculous God who loves us and wants to change our lives and do something deep within us. Whether it's in our spirit, whether it's our emotions, whether, Lord, it's our, even to change some things in our personality, or whether it's a physical healing, Lord, whether it's circumstances we're in, Lord, it doesn't matter how long it's been. You're the Lord God who does things suddenly, or Lord, you can begin to change things and make that thing happen as we put our trust in you. Tonight, Lord, we know you're the Lord who loves those who've been outcasts and who've been rejected and by other people that turn their backs on them. You're the Lord that loves them. You're the Lord that wants to lift us up. You're the Lord God who saved us. The people came to us and shared, and people witnessed. Open our eyes, that we would see around us people that are perishing, Lord. Let our heart be touched with the things that touch your heart. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Father, I thank you for the men and women in this room. They love you, Lord. Here they are in church on a Wednesday night. They have a heart. They have a heart for missions, to give, to serve. Lord, they give themselves as volunteers. Lord, they love you. Oh, God. I pray tonight, though, you take this veil off of my eyes. Take the veil off of our eyes. You give us a new confidence, a new wisdom, a new boldness. You've called us and commissioned us to share your word, and you're going to do it. We don't have to do it. You'll do it through us by your Spirit. Now, Lord, starting tonight, tomorrow, that our spiritual antennas would be up, Lord. And we'd be sensitive to the people that you've hooked us up with, in the workplace, in the family, people that you impress upon us and put on our hearts to call on the phone or stop by their house, people we meet in the street, people we meet in the grocery store, the gas station, at the school when we go to pick up our kids. Lord, make us sensitive. Let us step out, begin that conversation, and you're going to give us, Lord, the words and the wisdom if we'll just say, "Here I am, Lord, use me." God, we rejoice. We thank you for the life that we've received through other people's obedience, through the gospel. We thank you, God, for other people that prayed for us. Now, use us, we pray. We rejoice in you. You are the Lord. You are our Lord. We confess, just like that blind man did, you are Jesus Christ, the Lord. And we worship you. We love you, Lord, for your awesome presence in our life. God, we think of all the things you've done for us. You are faithful. You're faithful, faithful, faithful. You never let us down. I thank you, Lord. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed just before we leave. No one moving around for just a moment, please. I couldn't share a message like this and just say goodnight. If there'd be one person here, you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. For years, you know, I went to church, but I just didn't understand. I don't know that I ever heard it. If I did, I sure didn't get it. That it's not by good works. No one's saved by being good. No one gets saved by just going to church. No one gets saved by the good things they do. I just try to be as good as everybody else. I'm as good as everybody else. But the Bible says there's none good. Nobody. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He died for the sins of the whole world. There wasn't one righteous man or woman. We are all lost, separated from God. The only way we're going to know God is through His grace. He's given one way for us to know Jesus. Jesus said, I am that one way. There's only one name given under heaven whereby you may be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of good works, so no one can boast about it. If we believe in our heart, confessing with our mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. All these scriptures. It's when I trusted God, said, Lord, forgive me, God, forgive me. And I received Him as my Savior and asked Him to come into my life. And I put all my trust in Him alone, not in any of my good works at all or anything that I did at all. It was a gift, and I received that gift. It says, those that don't have Christ don't have life. Those that have Christ have life. And these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. So you can know that. And I want to ask, just before we dismiss, you'll say, Pastor John, I don't know that I've ever understood that, but I want to have the assurance I have eternal life. And the moment you ask Jesus, He can't lie. He waits. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. He says, if you just hear His voice and open the door, it's come into your life. He just waits for the invitation. Believe me. Oh, He's the one that was drawing you. You weren't looking for Him. He brought you here. He's been tugging on your heart for a long time, just like this blind man. It was kind of a progressive revelation. Maybe that's what's been happening in your life. But tonight's the night. And if that's you and you'll say, Pastor John, I don't have the assurance that Jesus is my Savior. I've never really done that, to ask Him to come into my life. But I know that I know. He loves me. I'm in the kingdom of God, and it doesn't have anything to do with my good works or being good. It's because I received the gift that He gave me. I got news for you tonight. I can tell you, I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. I didn't get in because I was good. God's not partial to bald heads. I want you to know that. He doesn't mind them either. In fact, you tonight, I want you wherever you are, you say, Pastor John, will you pray for me? And you put your hand up when I see it. And you can put it down. But you'll be honest. Thank you. I see your hand back there. Who else? You just, thank you so much. I see your hand. Is there anyone else tonight? Thank you. I see your hand in the back. I see your hand in the back. Is there anyone else? Am I missing anyone? You just put your hand up. Thank you. I see your hand there. God bless you, sir. Is there anyone else tonight? You slip your hand up. God bless you. Thank you so much. God tonight wants to give us eyes to see. And we'll see things. But when Christ came in my life, whew, it was like, I'm the same person, but I wasn't the same person. I never wanted to read the Bible. I didn't understand the Bible until Christ came in my life. I couldn't put it down. It's like God takes the scales off your eyes and you begin to see things you never saw before. See people in different light. There's a new generosity, just a new love, a new peace that comes on you. You know God's got a plan for your life. I was just doing whatever I wanted to before that. And then I knew it. God has a plan for my life. I got to find out what it is. Father, I pray for the people that raise their hand tonight. Lord, you are such a big God. You made us all diverse. Every person that raised their hand, they're different. They all have different parentage, came from different places, different racial backgrounds, Lord, different educational levels, different levels of sin. Some of them, man, they've sinned so much. Some, Lord, just a little, but we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you love every one of us and you call us, Lord. We thank you tonight. And so, Lord, I pray for the people that raise their hand. They're going to meet you and know you. This is going to be the first day of a new life in you and the best day of their life and the beginning of eternity. Lord, you said whoever is Christ has eternal life. Not that we're going to have it. We stand in it now, Lord, in the life you've given us. And so, Lord, I pray. Thank you for each one. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want us to stand to our feet and just stand in an attitude of prayer. You know, we received some offerings tonight for missions and support of this ministry. That's not how you get saved. You know, we do that because we are saved and because we love Jesus and want other people to know him. But it's a gift of God. It doesn't have anything to do with what we do. But I want to invite you right now to come. If you raise your hand, it says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our heart, we'll be saved. If we'll confess him before men, he confesses us before the Father. If we deny him before men, he denies us before the Father. And so if we say, I understand, I got it all under control, I already, you know, then we're blind. God can't do anything about it. But if we admit, man, I need to.